Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, bringing you some of the best bits of this afternoon's Euro game day warm-up. We were live from Birmingham at the Malthouse Pub down on the
beautiful
canal.
Location.
Lovely day, sun was shining, and we had some great guests. Matt Elliott, former Scotland and Leicester defender.
In good form.
Took us back to his time in the Scotland camp during a World Cup. Gave us a few war stories. Comedian and West Brom fan, Karen Bailey, we met for the first time.
Yeah, she was lovely.
Not the last time she'll be on Talk Sport. She was great value. You'll hear from her. Lee Hendry was with us. And amongst other things, we talked about Villa's broad fan base.
We did.
Shall we say.
Young Lee Hendry, but now with a touch of grey.
Oh, yeah, but I think that's a style thing. I think that's a grey. Do you think that's a grey tint?
Grey rinse.
A grey rinse.
I doubt it.
And we had a conversation about various matters and told you what happened on the holiday, as Andy likes to call it, so far. So we hope you enjoy all of this. Good afternoon, everyone. I've got a piece of paper in front of me saying, it's the morning.
No, it's fantastic.
Good morning, everyone. I feel up at school now. Good morning, Mr. Jacobs. Good morning, everyone. Anyway, yeah, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone. And yes, we caught the train from Glasgow yesterday, which meant that we had to watch the game on the train. A very frustrating experience.
There was really a lot of buffering. A
lot of buffering.
Going on.
We were on different time zones.
Well, the thing is, I was watching on a piece of Apple equipment, albeit an iPad. Yeah. Alex, who's with us, he was watching on his laptop, yet we weren't in sync.
I know.
So he was slightly ahead of us, and he was doing his best, but it's very hard to watch a game of football.
I know,
so
he kept getting excited.
He kept going, oh! So we knew something was coming up about 10, 15
Mine was the worst,
later.
Though. My TalkSport app went off a minute before Patrick Schick's goal. All we heard was Alex Crooks going, oh my word, what a goal! It's all the suspense out of it. We were just sitting there waiting for it, 3 minutes for it to come up.
But I thought, great way to do goal flashes. If the technology was there, rather than just kind of giving you a bit of text, if suddenly when a goal was scored, you could bring up that bit of commentary. Well, it'd be a bit embarrassing in a meeting if you were trying to keep in touch with the game.
We tried to set up a hotspot between my phone and your iPad, but it's really hard to sync Apple to Android.
Well,
a great song by David Bowie.
We were singing Apple to Android for a while.
And the most annoying thing was about watching the game on your iPad was the picture quality was worse than your security camera at home.
Yes, that's right.
Crystal clear.
They were HD quality, but unfortunately that wasn't quite as good.
I did raise the point that, do you think that Wi-Fi on trains in Japan is buffers like that? But
I doubt it.
And it's amazing how people, social media is a fantastic thing, isn't it? The way people, somebody described Schick's goal as a chip.
Oh no, I'll tell you what,
there
was a brilliant one. Gary Taphouse, the commentator, obviously came across this kind of feed. Somebody was doing a kind of commentary text on the whole thing. And this was clearly a Scotland fan on 52 Minutes said, David Marshall was stranded way out of his goal after the team loses possession. And Patrick Schick has the simplest of tasks. To shoot the ball into an empty net.
That's
from
the
distance.
Worst description it's of a goal ever.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Brilliant.
As the simplest of tasks.
It was.
So
simple,
bitter.
Yeah. It's amazing, though. 4 hours on a train, it gives you a chance to discover the interesting things you'd never know. There are actually people out there called Ian Stagram. It's a bloke. Facebook.
Yeah.
And you can get a cab from a bloke called Huber.
Huber, there's a bloke, yeah. There is
that's
a guy
ridiculous.
Called, there is a guy called Huber. So when he asks, when he must, you know, they ask for a name on Uber, and he says Huber, they must think, he's taking the mickey or what? Just a reminder, it's Big Alan's 62nd birthday. Happy birthday, big man. Have a good day. And we're looking for some of your favourite Alan clips. So we are having a How's Bob's Health amnesty. But if there's one of Alan's that you've always liked, at TSHNJ this afternoon, TSHANDJ, and we'll do our best to indulge you. Andy's got one of his favourite Alan's. We'll maybe go into the first break of the day with that if we
That's
can.
Good.
And Max Rushton does as well. We'll feature that for you amongst others. This pub we're in today, the Maltings, is quite famous. There's a picture of Bill Malthouse. I do apologise.
What did you call it?
I call it the Maltings, which I think is a sort of road near me. Anyway, the Malthouse. They've got it's a picture of Bill Clinton he once came here and had a pint and played the saxophone.
Yeah,
you know?
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Before he opened his card shop.
That's right. And there are pictures of him here, and there's another story attached to it, I can't really tell you at this time of the day on air.
So
it was at the height of the Monica Lewinsky situation, as Glenn probably called it. Anyway,
we met your son last night. He's a lovely boy.
My oldest lad. Yeah.
Yeah, and he did a bit of a Dave tell. He wasn't quite as informative, but
he tried to give us some facts about Birmingham as he lives here.
More canals in Birmingham than Venice.
More canals than Venice.
Quite good.
That's it.
Also on the train yesterday, we came to a station called Warrington Bankey, which we decided should be rechristened Warrington Bankey Moon.
Yeah.
And then John said he wanted to get Rupert Moon to stand on the platform. What are the chances of that? We thought.
That's
to
I mean, don't feel you have to mention everything that happened. Yes,
I
mean,
do. I like to
feel free
everything.
To have a filter.
Well,
Andy
right.
is now
if
crossing
you want a filter,
these off. Yeah,
here's a one I should filter out. We discovered that when Brian Jacks came in, he invited John to stay with him in his private villa.
No, now what he did, he
in
basically
Thailand.
Said, you know, most guests leave the studio and they'll say to the producer, thanks for having me on. If you ever need me on again, here's my card. But Brian said to John, you know, why don't you come over to Thailand? You can come and stay at my place in Thailand. What a great, he didn't offer us that, did he? Didn't
no.
he? Well, actually, he might have done. I think it might. Should we all go together? Brian says, the only trouble is,
the idea of
you have to start the day with 100 dips and 50 squat thrusts. And it's pretty humid there as well. So anyway, look him up, kids. Brian Jacks. It was a programme called Superstars were born.
Yeah.
Anything else? Oh, anyway, do you want to hear the Alan clip?
Oh, I love this one.
Go on, just give us one more item from not a holiday.
Well, John said, I forgot to mention yesterday morning that I headbutted the alarm on the plane.
Yeah, that was very funny. And he stood up on the plane and managed to headbutt the call alarm. And we wondered why the steward had turned up. He's not a big man. I don't know how he managed it. He does take some
rose
doing.
Like a salmon.
Ah, now the other thing, just very quickly around here by the Malthouse, is there are geese with...
I was going to talk about the geese later, yeah.
With babies. And I've mentioned the other week on the show when I was with Max, my son runs along this towpath and he got turned round, put 3 kilometres on his... Because he couldn't run across where he wanted to.
No.
Because the geese were like spitting at him and honking because the young were there.
They're dangerous.
So we were eating up there. We had a little burger and a beer up opposite where the geese are.
Yeah.
But people were going up, weren't they?
That bloke.
So there was one guy very bold going. So we don't know if we can see... So when geese attack, yeah. We're going to keep an eye out this afternoon.
We thought it was going to be like Rod Hull and the emu. The geese are going to go for his throat.
We thought some guy was going to get stuck in the canal. Him and his missus are standing there trying to give bits of bread to these baby geese. And
he goes up to the... What are baby geese called? I can't remember now.
Goslings.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And what a player he was.
Don't say we're going to get Dan Gosling on. So, anyway... Let's have your favourite. We are going to get Lee Hendry on. Matt Elliott's going to join us first. Talk a bit of Scotland and more. Comedian Karen Bailey, Baggies fan, will be joining us too. Ian Bell's here later. And as we said, we'll dot round some of your favourite Big Alan clips to celebrate his 62nd birthday. This is one of Andy's favourite. This was Alan marking a famous day. Let's just remind you.
Now, the People's Republic of China was proclaimed with Maxi Chung as its chairman in this day in 1949.
Yeah.
I tell you what result that is. I love a ruby.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're at the Malthouse Pub in Birmingham, down on the canal. And as we have to see everything through a Torquay United prism, we're joined now by the former Torquay United Scotland midfielder, defender, should I say, Matt Elliott. Matt, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
I didn't know you played for Torquay.
Oh, many moons ago. I spent the last majority of my early stage of my career trawling the lower league, shall we say, in Torquay, Scunthorpe. Yeah. Oxford, it's not all glitz and glamour. You know?
You're fondly remembered at Scunthorpe.
Yeah, it's Tim Woodward. I remember taking glasses. I can't see his bits more. But it says, please let Matt Elliott know he's still a Scunthorpe legend. My goodness, we could do with him now, he says.
Ah, that's nice to hear. But yeah, going back a little while. But the time at Scunthorpe was very enjoyable. Yeah. There wasn't much else to do other than concentrate on football. So, thankfully, my career flourished in that period.
Overlap with Ian Botham or not? No.
He's a little bit older. He was a childhood hero of mine, that's for sure.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, he played for Scunny, didn't he? And he did. But some achievement. No, I didn't quite have the talents of Ian Botham, but liked a bit of cricket myself, actually, as I know you do, Andy.
Yeah, I do.
But no, I wasn't. I was just after that era, shall we say.
Yeah. We all think of you as Leicester, though.
Yeah, of course we do. We'll come on to Leicester a bit later. They're doing a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And I know you still do a bit of work at the club. But we were with Big Colin Hendry yesterday in Glasgow and the director of this new documentary, Mr. Brown's Boys, that they've made about the 98 World Cup, which is great on Scotland. And you were part of that squad, weren't you, Matt?
I was, believe it or not. And I did get a little invite to sort of be involved in that programme. But I sort of stepped aside, kept in the background, much as I did in 98, to be honest.
So what's it, I mean, we saw a couple of the England boys, because they got 26, and the same, you know, would have happened to some of the Scotland players. You can only have so many on the bench. And Gareth's been saying today, that's one of the downsides of having 26, because you can't have everybody available. You have to say to a couple of the lads, you know, you can't play.
Yeah.
And you have to have that difficult conversation, you're not in the squad. So what's it like, I mean, going through something like that? And not getting any game time.
Well, unfortunately, I did experience that. And but also, unfortunately, I didn't get that conversation with Craig Brown. I think he just, I don't know, he named his team, etc. And he didn't have to look after everyone. We sort of realised the situation.
Yeah.
I was very thankful just to be on board, in truth. And in fairness to Craig Brown, what he did do, Scotland had already qualified for the World Cup in France by the time that I was introduced to the international scene, shall we say. And he said quite blatantly, I'm going to stick with the lads that got us through.
That's a great experience. So a go to the World Cup. Yeah,
amazing.
Absolutely. And Brazil, almost.
Of all the games. Yeah. I mean, as most nations do, you go for a pre-tournament tour.
Yeah.
And we went over to America, we played Colombia in New York, we played the USA in Washington. Again, I didn't get on the field of play. Ended up playing against New York Metro's reserves in a training game. But I was representing Scotland.
Sure.
And, you know, it was a wonderful experience for me. And I remember waking up, I used to room with Neil Sullivan.
Yeah.
Who, similar sort of background to me, heritage-wise, etc. But we were pinching ourselves. We sort of looked at each other and he a little winky and said, how did we end up here? Do you fancy going to play Brazil in the opening game of the World Cup in a minute? Said, yeah, come on then, let's do it. And we went out there. We didn't get off.
So you had the kilts on of all the boys. The old squad went out in the full Scottish regalia.
Is that the only time you've worn a kilt? I bet it is.
Yeah, it was definitely the first. It would probably be the last. But I made the mistake of going the full Scottish hog, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that was a bad mistake. It was a boiling hot day.
Yeah.
And it wasn't pretty underneath, shall we say.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry for bringing that up. But, yeah, again, Craig Brown mentioned, he said, lads, we're going in the full regalia. Wow. And myself and Neil sort of looking at each other, thinking, oh, how's this going to go down? But, yeah, it was a good occasion. And my friends and family were out there, even though the prospect of me playing was very small. I thought he might just throw me on at one stage.
Yeah.
Because I used to play up front a bit back at that stage of my career. And I thought, well, I needed a goal. And I was more wishful thinking than anything. And I actually ran. I remember running on the pitch at half time. I thought, I'm unlikely to actually get involved in the game itself. And I went up and smashed a ball in the back of the net and celebrated as if I'd scored. It was half time. No one was looking. I looked like
you could have tried to nobble Ronaldo in the tunnel. That would have been good. A little reducer.
Yeah. In hindsight, that might have been more effective.
That would have been good.
Did you get a shirt number and a tracksuit and all that stuff?
Well, again, sort of on the periphery of things. Obviously, the main boys, you know, Colin Hendry, will swap with Ronaldo, etc. And we remember that coming in. Obviously, disappointment losing the game, even though the lads put up a decent performance. In truth, John Collins scored with a penalty, and at one stage, level pegging. And but you're sitting there, sort of, again on the edges of things. And I remember the kit man, Scotland, went into Brazil and asked for a few shirts, and he came back. He said, "I've got some. I've got some." And we're thinking, "Oh, that's a result, little memento of a big occasion." And he just lobbed us like a training top that they'd used a couple of days before, or maybe in the warm-up at best. They didn't even have an official number on it, but that was the best I got.
Let's start to have a look. We'll talk a bit more over the break, but we'll start look at yesterday. And as we just said to Ali in Andover with Laura, that you know, it could have been different. I mean, they just didn't have a lot of luck, Scotland. You know, even down to the deflection from the Jack Hendry shot, that kind of, it could have gone anywhere, but it runs straight to shit. I know he still had a lot to do, but nothing seemed to go Scotland's way yesterday.
No, exactly. You know, you could say a lack of quality. You could say ill fortune as well. You know, probably a combination of the two, maybe. The chances were plentiful, really, weren't they?
Yeah.
There wasn't too much wrong with the performance. I thought they looked a little bit hesitant defensively. In terms of
Robertson was the one, because that chance gone in at that point would have given the crowd, would have given the player something
it's
to hold on
game,
to.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate. It was a good save, but he could have.
Yeah, a good save. Some people say smash it low across the keeper. Mm. I don't think he can be criticised for trying that attempt.
No.
In that instance.
And he was at it first time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was threat, and there was space at the near post, but it didn't quite come off. The keeper was excellent all afternoon, wasn't he? But. Yeah, it just wasn't quite to be. There are areas you can look at for improvement. Obviously, you know, team selection was debatable in certain areas. Adams, primarily.
Definitely.
I think, without a doubt, he'll be starting against England, won't he, on Friday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, we're playing some of your favourite clips at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. This is Max Rushton's. It's a very, very simple clip, and it's Alan introing into a new story of the day. But it could easily be misconstrued, but we'd like to point out that he doesn't mean what he says here.
You're listening to the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast, Ray Parlour and Ford. I've taken loads of cocaine.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're at the Malthouse Pub in Birmingham, down on the canal, just opposite the Sea Life Centre. We're getting some slightly cosmic New Age music coming out the speakers by the Sea Life Centre. It feels like you're having a massage.
We're quite near our next guest's home.
Yes, we are. Mm. Somebody walked from her barge to be with us. We don't get to say, I don't think Matt Elliott did that.
No.
Comedian Karen Bailey. Good afternoon, Karen.
Hello.
So you say you live about sort of 500 yards away.
I could have actually come on my barge to meet you here.
That would have been good.
And it would have only taken me 2 minutes. It's that close.
So you do sail up and down. It's not a sort of permanent fixture there. No?
Oh, no, I do take it out. It's permanent residential mooring, but I do take it out now and again, especially weather like this.
So how long have you lived down there?
I've lived on a boat for 8 years.
Right.
But I moved here during the lockdown, actually. Well, during the break between the lockdown. So I used to live around the corner. So
what are the positives and negatives of barge living then?
If you don't like your neighbours, you can move.
That's good, brilliant.
Quite literally. It's cosy. People describe it as like a little cottage on the water, which is nice. Space is a bit of a pain.
Yeah.
And if I just say the word toilet, and then I'll leave that to your imagination.
Does it? Do you feel the sea? Not the sea. Well,
the sea. Yeah.
I think if you wake up, you're on the sea.
Get very canal sick. I did have a little bit of an accident the other night. I'd had a little bit few too many drinks after the England game. And I fell in.
Did you?
No. I did.
Oh, how often does that happen?
Not very often.
Yeah.
Not very often. I felt a bit of an idiot.
Because everybody sort of rushed to your aid.
Well, luckily, there's
at least you didn't think it was the sea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a boat skipper who actually works on the wharf, and he saw me go in. And he's life-saving trained, and he rushed over, and I was just going, pull me out. He's going, roll over onto your back and do it properly. I was like, okay.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, I felt a bit of an idiot.
Embarrassing. We were saying you've toured with Joe Lycett and you've turned him on to football, your club.
I have. I've made him into a West Bromwich Albion fan for his sins.
Fantastic.
And I love it because I think he's not really following. And then we'll play some random team on a Tuesday night and he'll send me a text going, the boys are winning! And I'm like, I have to check that he's actually watching the right game.
Because you took him to a game and he was a bit...
I took him to a game in his fur coat. So you can imagine the Albion fans loving that.
Yeah.
And he was quite struck. I think it was Malumbo was playing for us at that point. He was quite happy with Malumbo. He said, oh, hasn't Malumbo got a shiny head?
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
So he's spotting the stuff that you're not spotting because you're watching the game.
And then he did nudge me at one point and whisper, which team are we again?
Oh, dear.
I said, we're wearing blue and white stripes. You should know that by now.
I've been watching the sewing bee. My wife's insisting on it. And... he does wear some amazing clothes. I don't know if he goes to the
brilliant.
Albion like that.
Oh, gosh. Well, the fur coat did look like it belonged on Sewing Bee.
Yeah, that's good. We say you just started gigging again after a long period. That must be nice.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's so good to get out. And the atmosphere has been amazing in gigs. I did one, the first one back, I forgot half my jokes. And I just looked at them and went, oh, come on, guys, it's been a year. And they were like, just do it again. And when I got to the end of one joke and they all clapped, I went, no, that's a bit patronising, but I'll take it. So,
what was your route into comedy then, Karen?
I always wanted to do it. I did a little bit of acting and then a friend entered me into a competition. And so my first gig, quite stupidly, I think, was in front of about 400 people.
Wow.
I know. And I went on and I was like, oh, I went to a friend, I took some friends with me and they said they counted me going to the toilet 18 times previous to me actually going on stage. And then I was scared, I just thought, what if I don't like it? Because I always wanted to do it. And then if you're not very good, you think, oh, well, I can get better, but what if I don't like it? But I remember being up there going, oh, I love this.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
We were in Glasgow and we spoke to Susie McCabe. And
I know Susie.
Yeah, a kind of similar story. I think it was a sort of drunken dare. Sometimes it just takes something like that to get you on there, to give you the reason to get up there and do
she's
it.
She's on a football forum with me as well on Facebook. We've got one. It's called Comedians Who Want to Talk About Football Away From... idiots is the polite word.
Right, okay.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of idiots on there. So Susie and I are normally on the same page. So
you've done a lot of competitions. I was wondering what that was like. You've done well in competitions, actually, finalists and stuff like that.
Mm.
Is it true competitive thing, isn't it? Or are you just looking after your own thing rather than worrying about what everybody else is doing?
I think when you first start out, it's a kind of, you kind of do it to sort of, I say get noticed, that's not necessarily true. But I kind of did it. I did the gong show at the Comedy Store, which is the one that I kind of wanted to test myself because you can get gonged off.
Mm.
So you have to be funny quickly.
Mm.
And the first time I did it, I got through the 5 minutes. Oh, brilliant. Okay. And they said, and I didn't win because it was a vote off between me and another chap and the audience were voting. So they said, oh, come back. We've never had a woman win it before. So I went back and I was like, okay. I'll be fine. And then the guy in front of me got gonged off within 10 seconds.
Oh, dear.
Oh, really?
So I was, like, preparing myself, and they went, and you're next. I went, what? So I was like, yeah. But it's, yeah, I think it teaches you to be funny quickly, I suppose.
Yeah.
Our own Ian Abrahams did it, of course, one night.
He tried this.
Yeah, I wrote his script. It was terrible.
Blimey. Andy, you tried the store. You got gonged off one night.
No, I got things thrown at me.
Oh, okay. Blimey. In a double.
I'd never do what you did. I really admire anybody that does stand-up comedy. It's a really difficult thing to do.
Oh, I think I'd say that, but once you get used to it, it's so much fun.
Yeah. You did one of those drive-in gigs, didn't you?
I did.
What was that experience like? People
that
in their cars?
Bizarre.
Yeah.
It was bizarre because I was comparing it. So I was the first one on and I was trying to sort of elicit a response. How are we going to talk and everything? So I was like, well, use your horns. If you're enjoying yourself, use your horns. And of course, so they started to realise they could use their horns to laugh.
Yeah. Mm.
But then they realised they could use their horns to heckle.
So you can't really reply to that.
Exactly. You know, you'll be doing a joke and you say something about yourself and they just go, as if to go, yeah, we agree. And then it was so funny because during the interval, there was somebody running around with jump leads in case the batteries were flat. But they all waved as they were going out. They loved it. They really enjoyed it. But it was, it was weird.
And we were just saying this: the city has changed a lot, hasn't it, over the years. There's a kind of confidence about Birmingham as a city. There's a lot of good stuff going on. Commonwealth Games next year.
I know, it's exciting. Yeah. Birmingham's a brilliant city. Mm. I love it here. I mean, I'm from Birmingham, so I'm always going to sort of big it up. But we've always had a bit of a bad reputation. But the people are really friendly, and I think the actual city centre is gorgeous. Yeah. It's lovely when you see tourists that come in, especially around here, and they comment on the boats. I mean, the number of times I have people, like, you know, leaning in your boat trying to take a photo, and I'm like, I'm doing the washing up. Get lost. You know, or they, you know, you feel your boat sway and somebody's on the back of it, like, posing. We're like, what? This is my home.
Yeah. So where can we see you then? You're sort of back out gigging again. Where can we see you next?
Oh, gosh, I'm all over the country. Trying to think where I am. Go on my website and you'll find me somewhere.
Okay, give us your website.
It's KarenBaileyComedian.com.
Okay, go and check it out. I mean, catch some of Karen's gigs. Lovely to see you.
Well, thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of the tournament. So you enjoyed the England game? Probably too much.
I did enjoy the England game. Yeah, I'm a positive England fan. I'm like, I'm sick of the negativity.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'm really positive. I think we can do well.
Good.
Yeah, and you're now our official West Brom correspondent.
Yes.
Thank you very much. If you ever need to talk about relegated teams, I'm the person to go to. I'll shed a few tears.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks very much.
Oh, thank you so much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Lee Hendry is with us, former Villa and England midfielder. And should we look back on last night's game? We touched on it earlier on, Spain-Sweden. And, you know, look, people haven't been getting overexcitedly about Spain, but they're a very good side. I mean, what did you make of them last night? And I know you share Andy's thoughts on Sweden as kind of
tournament
killers. Yeah, Andy wants them kicked out of all tournaments from there on.
Sweden, I'm not far behind him.
Sweden's ideal tournament is that every game finishes 0-0 and they win the penalty after 120 minutes, the final rather, after penalties.
To be fair, the only thing I do like about Sweden is when the camera goes to the fans, because the ladies look beautiful.
Yeah,
don't
that's,
they?
True,
that's yes, one thing,
right.
I will say.
And a lovely kit
when it comes
as well.
Back to the, yeah, and the nice. Pitch, the colours,
it's
looks
a beautiful.
Yeah.
But that's all you can take away from a Swedish performance.
Exactly.
They obviously didn't play. But so they did have chances last night. And you know, it was played in Seville, wasn't it? They were getting some clog, the Spain team. They were getting the bird at the end because 85% possession.
The pitch was terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't a great pitch, wasn't it? And again, you know, couldn't find a way through, could they?
I know. I kind of watched Spain and I just feel that, I mean, it just seemed to be one of them boring games for me. I know Spain want to dictate possession. They want to keep control of the ball. I mean, the one thing I will say about Spain is that when they did lose possession, they were quite quick to get it back, which, but I think coming up against a more superior side, it'd be a different element. I just felt that they're certainly vulnerable defensively, as we've seen Sweden got a few chances, considering that they didn't really retain possession of the ball at all.
Had the two best chances,
you could probably say.
Yeah. The one at the post in the first half and the one that just missed in the second.
I'd say about Morata, he's no Ollie Watkins.
No, definitely not. I agree with you. No, but I just feel like that seemed to be the problem with Spain. Is they haven't got no one who's going to stick the ball in the back of the net. You know, on a different evening, it could have been maybe four or five and we could be having a different conversation. But I just feel that Spain had certainly not one of the teams I'd be looking at so far and saying, you know, I think they're going to go on and win the Euros. Certainly not.
We're going to see three of the teams today that, well, I think two of the teams today in Portugal and France. I don't think anybody thinks Germany are likely currently to go all the way. But we're going to see a couple of good sides today.
You writing them off, the Germans?
Well, I'm not writing them off. I wouldn't personally never write off the Germans, but I know. Would you expect them to win it?
No,
it does seem unlikely.
I expect Timo Werner to miss a lot of chances. Yeah. That's why.
He's got to come good soon.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But, I mean, France, Germany, what a cracking game that is.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one, to be honest. I think, like you said, you look at the two teams and you on balance, I mean, I think France will certainly be there or thereabouts. I was impressed with Belgium, but I think France if anything, tip to go and...
They're the class of the tournament.
Yeah, they are really good. They're very good all over the pitch defensively. They've got that structure going forward. They're exciting. They score goals.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be the team.
And Italy. I think the way they played the other day, it'd be interesting to see if they could do that against teams of the quality in France and Belgium, because, I mean, Turkey are not a bad side, but they made them look really ordinary, didn't they?
They did. I felt that was going to be one of the games where... possibly Turkey might go and get something because of the way they play. They're very aggressive at times, and to be fair to the Italians, they were absolutely magnificent. They set the stall out well, and I think you know looking over the balance of the start of what we've seen, you know,
it's been a good tournament. So I mean, we had Ukraine Holland, which was a great game. We've seen some really good goals so far, including the Schick one. It's interesting. The headline writers, all headline writers, had that job of balancing how far they could get away with using the word Schick in the headline without the editor saying, "No, that, you're pushing it. You've gone too far. You've gone too far with that one."
It was some goal though, wasn't it? Oh. I mean, when I seen Yarmolenko's goal, I thought that's going to be goal of the tournament, and then yesterday, wow, I had to rewind it and rewind it. It was, the more you've seen it from the sort of back view of it, it was, I mean, there was everything about it was excellent.
Yeah, I mean, we should get a kind of player's perspective. I mean, to be fair, we should have talked. I said we get a player's, but we didn't ask Matt Elliott about that because he played for Scotland.
He did say that actually when he left. He said, thank you.
Why didn't they not ask me about scoring from the halfway line?
Yeah.
But you know, we saw, didn't he? He has that look first, Schick, doesn't he? And just, I mean, even then, you can look all you like, but to execute that, it was like a golf shot, wasn't it?
It was everything that you put together. I mean, the technique, you just said, the vision, and to actually do what he did. I mean, when I first seen it, the second time I seen it, it was almost like he bent it out. And I thought, well, it was, for me, I don't think that will get beat this tournament. It was absolutely all-round excellent finish.
Yeah.
It was. We should talk about Villa.
We should. And, I mean, the signing of Vemi Buendia from under the nose of Arsenal, because there was a feeling that he was going. I know a lot of Arsenal fans are really upset has happened, because they were looking forward to getting him in. I know you've been a fan of his because you saw a lot of him last season, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. He was, I mean, I did a lot of the Norwich games, and Norwich were brilliant. I've got to say, you know, they were by far the best side in the league, but every time I watched the game, I could not give Buendia man of the match. He was excellent. You know, just, I think what I've seen him over the past couple of seasons, and sometimes I've always questioned his temperament. You know, he's had red cards. He's jumped up and got involved in stuff.
Yeah.
This season, I've seen a complete difference in him. He's got on with his football. He's created. He scored excellent goals. He was the driving force for Norwich for me, and he'll be a big miss for them. And what a massive capture for Villa. I feel he will be. The Villa fans will love him, I can assure you of that.
Yeah.
It was a very good season, wasn't it? Consolidating season. And now they can push on. There's no question about that.
Well, that's it. If you know, the links that you've got Buendia in the door already. We've still got hold of Grealish at this moment in time, fingers crossed. Ward-Prowse being linked. I think if you put all that into the category, you start thinking, can Villa go and push on? Yes, totally, if they're bringing players like that in, because I felt that he's brought players in really well. Martinez in goal was absolutely excellent this season. I think maybe another defender. And all of a sudden, I feel Villa can go and push. We've got the fans back in the stadium. I'm excited for next season. Yeah. I feel if we can keep Grealish, he's on the top of my list.
That's a big thing.
It's massive.
If as Andy said before, if Buendia and Ward-Prowse does hint at the fact that, you know, maybe Grealish could be moving on. And we're also hearing, as Faye was telling us earlier on, he's sort of training on his own today. He's being sort of nursed a little bit. He does take a real battering, doesn't he, as a player? And we just say as England fans, oh, he's great, he gets you a lot of free kicks. You're forgetting the physical toll.
It does tell in the end, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I, as you can imagine, my uncle's a big Blues fan, and he's always diving. I'm like, he's a player. The thing is, people want to kick him. People want to stop what he does. He's been the driving force in Villa's side. So, you know, everything he does going forward, he does create a massive spark. And, the amount of kicks he gets, he's just, I think he's been the most fouled player for past few seasons, yeah. and he's missed majority of this season. So you've got to say, them creative players, you know, the Messis, the Hazards, you know, these are players that are always going to get targeted for that situation. Yeah. But I love the fact Jack gets up, gets on with it. If that was me, I'd have had 12 red cards, to be honest, because I couldn't have dealt with that.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually, Lee. He rarely reacts, does he?
He's used to it.
Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, you would expect that. In the heat of battle, if you get kicked, you know, you are must be tempted to get in someone's face. But that's something they can't do to him.
It's totally right. And I've always been a big Messi fan. And I'm not saying that they're similar in player like, but they've got similar attributes. And that, for me, is one of them. You know, Messi gets booted all around the place, gets up and gets on with it and puts free kicks in the top corner. That's a sign of a good player, isn't it, I feel, because that's when you bring the temperament in and that's where people start to judge you.
I think it has affected him. I think Messi, last time he sprinted was about 5 years ago.
Yeah. But you made a good point where I thought exactly the same thing. Look at Hazard now. Look how much football he's missed in the last 2 years. Look how much punishment he took. And so, you know, somewhere down the road, you pay for that kind of punishment.
I think the knock-on effect is, like you say, he's going to have to nurse injuries. He's going to have to box clever in the way he is, but he's a key player at Villa at this moment in time and they want him in the side, but the more he has to keep nursing these injuries and little niggles that he gets, you know, that's the worrying thing. When you've got an attacking flair player like that, you know, you've got to wrap him in cotton wool as much as possible.
You mentioned the fans there, and we were saying in the break, Villa have got a sort of mixture of sort of normal people and posh fans.
Yeah, they've got the old, they've got the sort of,
Rupert Bell, Prince William.
That's right, yeah, that's the David Cameron. They've got that Cotswolds.
I see how you didn't add me to the posh fans.
The idea you sort of score a goal in a little corner of the halt and they're going, huzzah! They're all throwing top hats in the air. Fantastic group.
The other end drinking lager and throwing cans.
Throwing flowers on the pitch to Jack Grealish, like they're at the opera. Little opera glasses in the posh seats. Yeah,
that'll work. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that will determine a lot of how Villa do next year, whether they hold on to him or not. If they do hold on to him, top six is definitely, they're going to threaten it. Without him, then it'll probably be another season of consolidating, I suppose.
Yeah, but not in, I mean, exactly, they can they can build. And I think you kind of feel that.
So they've got a good base now.
They have.
And whether Jack goes, you know, there is lots of speculation, there is lots of
about
rumors.
City, yeah.
Yes, and the City one is, you know, it's been brandy to me a few times over the last few months that, you know, it's looking like it's going to happen. You know, if the inevitable happens, you know, I hope the Villa fans absolutely, you know, bow down to Jack and say, you know, thank you for what he's done, because he's been brilliant. He really has. And, you know, he wants to move on. He wants to win Premier Leagues. We talk about the likes of Harry Kane. Mm. It's not about the money situation. It's about winning trophies, about playing in Champions League. And I feel Villa, you know, they've possibly got a big building progress there, and it might take 4 or 5 years and it might be a little bit too late for Jack. So, listen, if he does go, I think they've got the foundation there to go and bring other players in and build for next season and hopefully get into Europe at some stage.
Brilliant, Lee. Lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of the tournament. All the best.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now,
it is a lovely pub. This in a beautiful position, isn't it?
I think you've mentioned this on air. Didn't you mention it on
Friday.
We saw Gareth Southgate he's changed now. He's in a sort of suit and tie for the games. But before, he had a sort of polo shirt on and a grey suit. No belt. Tucked in, no belt.
So I thought that was just a mistake.
Yeah.
Then I saw Roberto Mancini and I thought, well, he's a very stylish man. Perhaps it's
no belt.
It's a thing. No belt. It's a thing.
Tucked in.
Last night, Luis Enrique, another stylish man.
Yeah.
No belt.
Yeah.
So I looked it up and it is a thing.
Yeah. Lee's just told us. Lee Hendry said it is a bit of a
thing.
Lee's
a loops only man.
And he is a belt wearer. He wasn't today because he wasn't tucked in. But he's not a loops. He was. He said, when I'm tucked in, I'm a belt man.
Yeah.
So we think this is incredibly bad news for the belt industry.
It's really.
I mean, you know, if the worst thing that can happen, if you're the belt marketing board, do you want to sort of nip this fad in the bud?
Belt marketing board. Well, is there such a thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we were reminded last night, we went to Sochi for the World Cup, and Andy had said, you know, I need to buy a belt. And then almost immediately, we happened upon the Sochi Belt Centre, didn't we?
They
sold. I mean, it was just manna from heaven.
The thing is, you don't buy a lot of belts in your life. You don't.
This is
they
such an interesting. But I hope you're enjoying the European Championship. You don't buy a lot of belts in your life, Andy. No, that's very true.
Well, we did have, of course, we then Come on, give us your belt-based managers. We have Paul Buckle.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, that's good.
Luke McCary, you came up with.
Luke McCary.
Gusset Poyet.
Yeah, that's it. About it. That's it. We don't need more of those. Who cares? But anyway, there we are. So a bit of belt news there. The Germans are in action tonight.
Yeah.
And I think it was The Sun, actually, have been looking at some highlights from back in the day. Yeah. And I think this may have gone back to Euro 96. And it was guests at Mottram Hall Hotel in Cheshire complained about the German players at the time for swimming naked after using the sauna.
Really?
So they'd sit naked in the sauna and go straight in the pool. And
what period was that?
This must have been during the Euros, they said. Over a Euro 96.
We could have asked Jürgen Klinsmann when we spoke to him.
Yeah, well, I didn't know then.
I didn't know.
I'm talking
good,
about
really.
Jürgen about naked swimming. Sauna etiquette. Bertie Volt said, in Finland, all you need is a glass of schnapps in your hand. In Russia, you just need a hat. But in England, you must have your trunks.
Well, he's
so
got a point,
he was a bit put out that he couldn't swim in the buff with the rest of the German side. So, yeah, there we are.
Well, that's a very interesting piece.
It is an interesting piece. We went past the shop in Glasgow. I forgot to mention it. And it was a shop called Super Barrio, B-A-R-I-O. So I immediately contacted Ian Danter and said, we've just come across Trevor Francis. He sells his favourite ever computer game, Super Barrio. Yeah, it certainly did. Yeah.
Now, the Commonwealth Games will take place here next year, as we talked earlier in the show, and very great excitement about that.
Yeah.
And we found out last night that John's cousin represented Jersey in the Commonwealth Games at squash.
Yeah.
So he was quite impressed
with
that.
That's right. Yeah, what a big
claim to sporting fame there.
Brilliant. Yeah, well done to him.
And he's very excited because Torquay, as Torquay fans will know, and some fans of National League football know, have made it's the playoff, isn't it?
Big That's playoff, right. Yeah. Ashton Gate this
against
weekend.
Jeff Stelling's Hartlepools,
yeah.
They call them.
Hartlepools, as Cluffy used to say. Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be very exciting. So John's been planning his trip. He's going down there on Sunday, and he's going to be parking in a Sainsbury's apparently a fiver.
We do wonder if
quite interesting.
He's gone through the well-known parking app where you often park on someone's drive, and Charlie Baker is parking on some bloke's drive near Ashton Gate and has paid for the privilege. But the one that John's got is a Sainsbury's car park. It sounds like somebody scammed you, mate. They just basically take a tenner off you to park in Sainsbury's. Don't care if you get clamped or not. You'll give him a tenner in cash and he'll just run off. I imagine that's what will happen.
I do love John's talky prism as well. When we were watching Spain last night, keeping the ball and doing nothing, we talked about Graham Hunter's the take the ball pass, about that wonderful documentary
about
Pep's Barca team, and he wants to do one on Torquay.
Take the ball, lump the ball. Sorry Gary, that's not how you play football, I know.
And with your son last night, he introduced us to a very nice burger place. It was lovely.
Yeah,
was
very good. Yeah,
just down here on the canal. And the burger came with smoked brisket, which is something that they do. It's quite nice. It was lovely, actually.
Yeah.
But the owner came over and told us, he was very insistent, saying...
He said, I've got great news.
Great
he came
news.
In, he said, we didn't have a smoker. It got stuck in the Suez Canal. So, just that.
Yeah.
And
but
then, and then
the
he
smoker
said,
had been delayed,
got
but
it.
It's got
We've got
through.
The smoker. And I was thinking, great, that's good news. But,
but you think, where does the smoker come from? Yeah. That it has to come through the... Don't they make them in Europe?
Oh, well,
why has it got to come
not.
Through the Suez Canal?
But he was dead proud. He kept coming back saying, what's the brisket like?
It was good.
It was brilliant. It couldn't... It was brilliant. Thank God they cleared the Suez Canal. Yeah, anyway.
And, of course, we always like to do, when we're on holiday, we like to do...
We're not on a holiday, Andy.
Yeah, I am. When we do lookalikes. And,
who have you spotted?
Well, John so far is the best one. We spotted Martin Kellner in our hotel in Glasgow. I don't know if we... Did you put that out on social media? I think you did. Oh, he's going to. And the guy... John's on form. He said the guard
How many
on our
runs
tray.
Would you have got for that? Because we play look-alike cricket, of course. If it's a real pin-sharp look-alike,
I thought four.
It's six runs.
Four.
A solid four through the covers.
Yeah, it was a nice
for Martin
shot.
Kellner. Yeah.
And he came up with the guard on the train who looked like Paul Jiggins.
He did. He was a much bigger Paul Jiggins of the Sun. That's probably less universal, maybe. I don't
quite
know.
Quite big then.
So you're getting a couple for that, are you?
Yeah, that's it.
But, okay, fair enough. We'll keep going. Yeah. So, yeah, look-alike cricket. We'll keep doing a little bit of that over the next few days. So we head to... Cardiff next, and we'll bring you the show from Cardiff tomorrow, and we look forward
Gareth
to that.
Bale.
Gareth, yeah, he's not coming on, obviously. He's
obviously
in Baku.
Not.
But we'll be looking another Welshman are available, but we will be looking at the game tomorrow against Turkey. Big one for them. But, you know, it was a decent point the other day, and but I think Turkey are a better side than they showed against Italy, but we shall see.
Turkey does sound a bit like Torquay, so John might actually be interested in that one.
I think Turkey United, he calls them. I mean, they wear their yellow away kit. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've got a chance. I mean, this tournament, everybody's got a chance. It's going to be fascinating. I look forward to a team finishing, getting through to the next session with no points.
Beaten 5-0 in each game, yet still they qualified.
Yeah, it's incredible.
They just got draw lots. But yeah, it's going to be hard to get kicked out of this competition. So we've discovered there's a Bale Boulevard that's been renamed. Mm. And we're very excited about going there, but we've discovered earlier on it's basically just a cardboard sign in a shopping centre. So it's somebody in the Cardiff...
It's a good bit of marketing.
Cardiff shopping centre's idea of marketing. Well, it worked. Yeah, we were desperate to go and see it. But anyway, we will be looking ahead to the World Cup.
I'm tempted to reprise in the final minute before we go to the break my version of Young at Heart, which... Morphed into Radio Gaga.
You often get that. When someone, he's terrible at kind of holding a tune. Mm. So somebody was playing the old Bluebells Young at Heart, because obviously we're up in Glasgow, and I think we were in the cab, and he had sort of Radio Clyde on, and they were having a bit of a Scottish half hour ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to think quite how you did it. And you went, well, I've got...
Do, 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 do. Do, do,
do, do, do, do. See, he's doing it now. So he's done the first couple of bars at Young at Heart, and then it's turned into Radio Gaga. I don't know how he does it.
No,
it's
terrible.
It's a gift. So, anyway, let's bring this. Alan Brazil's 62nd birthday, and we're asking for some of your favourite clips. This one is a favourite, not just of Daniel Lavender, TalkSport listener, who suggested it, but also... our producer John Cadogan. It's a great recovery by Alan while he's discussing something in the business news.
With all the building in London, you know, there's cranes everywhere.
Yeah.
Steel should be in so much demand, so we're back to this cheap Chinese steel.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this morning's / this afternoon's show, and now we hit the road once again.
Yes,
we head for Cardiff, where we'll be tomorrow, building up to Wales versus Turkey. So keep enjoying the Euros, and we will hear from you then, or we will catch up with you then.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.